When financial markets embrace coronavirus vaccines. I'm David Brancaccio. After the Dow fell more than 500 points yesterday, 1.8%, we're starting with less volatility today, although things are just turning down in the last few seconds here. The Dow is now down 31 points, a tenth percent. The S&P is up a tenth percent. The NASDAQ composite, I'll call that flat. Interestingly, a big investment bank has tried to put a number to something that could explain the strength of the stock market during pandemic. By this one calculation, 40% of the stock market gains recently can be attributed to faith there will be vaccines sooner rather than later. I ran this past the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles, Jeffrey Cleveland, who's looking at really other measures.
The outlook is better now than, say, 3 months ago. And I think you see that in a couple of ways. Probably first and foremost for me, the economic data. There were bigger fears of, you know, a much bigger rise in unemployment and continuing contraction in the economy. And that hasn't panned out. The unemployment rate has fallen here in the third quarter pretty dramatically. And the economy appears to be on the mend with the economic activity bouncing back pretty sharply in the third quarter. The same true for, I would say, corporate earnings have come in better in the second quarter data that we've seen than was anticipated 3 months ago.
That said, one risk for regular people, businesses, and investors is the possibility of no new stimulus out of Washington this fall. The Federal Reserve boss, Jerome Powell, makes three appearances on Capitol Hill this week, starting today, where he's likely to call for more spending by Congress. But the heat generated by the vacancy on the Supreme Court could get in the way. Here's Karen Petru, founder of Federal Financial Analytics in Washington.
You're going to hear a tremendous amount of demand from members of Congress literally passing the buck and telling the Fed, you do it. And we're going to hear Jay Powell say, I can't. This is a central bank. You do it. And central banks don't lend money at risk. Central banks don't give money away, he's going to say. And Congress is saying essentially, well, do it anyway. And that, I think, is where the debate is going to start, stop, and end.
Analyst Karen Petru, Tesla today. We'll talk about a new battery for electric cars. How quick will it charge up? How far will it go? Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has more.
In a series of tweets, Musk says this new battery won't reach high volume production until 2022, and that the stall is because it's difficult to scale new technology. Until then, Tesla will continue purchasing batteries from Panasonic, LG, and Chinese manufacturer CATL. But Musk says in the future, those company supplies won't be enough, and that creating its own battery is necessary for Tesla to keep up with car production. Battery shortages have constrained the company's output in the past. The specifics of the battery itself are more of a mystery, though, as usual, Musk has been dropping flashy hints online in the days leading up to this meeting that suggest the new battery holds a higher capacity and is cheaper to produce. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
The media has taken to calling this Battery Day. I call it the first of autumn, which occurred about 24 minutes ago. With 42 days until the election, how to fill the vacancy left by the death of Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg is spurring donations to Democrats, Republicans, and allied groups. Marketplace's Justin Ho checks in on the numbers.
Donors gave over $150 million between Friday night and Monday afternoon to the Democratic fundraising site Act Blue. Erin Hill is Act Blue's executive director.
We saw people who were contributing towards Senate races, other congressional races, but also state legislative races.
But the fight over President Trump's Supreme Court nominee could also boost Republican fundraising. GOP fundraiser Dan Eberhardt is the CEO of Canary, an oilfield services provider. He says it presents an opportunity to renew donor interest.
I think this is an open door to go back to them, or folks that have given, go back to them again.
In August, the Biden campaign raised three times as much as President Trump, says Sheila Krumholtz with the Center for Responsive Politics. She says this late in the campaign,
there's only so much that they can spend money on at this point, but they will be spending it every way they can, fast and furiously.
We'll know more about which candidates and parties are receiving this latest round of cash when the campaigns file fundraising reports in October. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Mail-in voting for this pandemic election is already underway in a handful of states. People who are homeless have additional troubles placing their votes. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
When you don't have a permanent home, even the most basic steps of voting become daunting. Jeff Page is a longtime activist and resident of Los Angeles's Skid Row, home to the largest concentration of homeless people in the country.
You got to register. You've got to have an address. Well, how can we vote if we don't have I'm homeless on the sidewalk?
People can use the address of a family member, a homeless service provider, or even their physical location on the street to register, though it's difficult to get voter information or mail-in ballots this way. Still, Page says some do make the effort to cast their vote.
A lot of people just want to be part of the process because that's the first problem. The people that are making decisions have no idea, don't have a clue as far as what life is like.
John Masseri with the L.A. homeless service provider The People Concern says the county has rolled out a number of initiatives in the last year to boost turnout.
First is getting people registered, and the second is making sure that they can get to the polls.
L.A. County residents can register and cast a ballot at any polling location, regardless of their address. That includes several voting booths at homeless shelters that will open in the days before the election. But even in states with less restrictive voting requirements like California, the pandemic is adding new challenges, says Nan Roman with the National Alliance to End Homelessness.
Homeless people often use libraries or they use coffee shops and so forth to access the internet. And they don't have that access now in a lot of places. So just getting information about how to vote and what the issues are has been affected a lot by COVID.
People may also encounter greater difficulty obtaining proper ID, a necessity to vote in most states, because many government offices are operating with reduced hours and staff. And while the ample availability of hotel rooms for makeshift housing has helped get some people off the streets, Roman says it's likely a greater share have been pushed out of shelters and away from valuable voting resources.
They thinned out their shelter populations in order to reach CDC goals about social distancing in shelters. And so people ended up on the street. Some shelters closed.
She says efforts to get out the vote among the unhoused population can be resource intensive at a time when many local governments are facing budget cuts and layoffs. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
And the outfit that approves official emoticons for the online world has a new one to express the distress of 2020 instead of a smiley. It's the mouth of an Edvard Munch painting with eyeballs, anguished spirals, like two at symbols gone mad. I tweeted it looking for better ways to describe it on the radio. A bunch of you think the eyes look like cinnamon rolls. I'd add the mouth looks like someone whose cinnamon rolls gave them dyspepsia. There are some excellent descriptions accumulating on Twitter, at David Brancaccio for that. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.